Take our Bibles tonight, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. So each week for the next several weeks, we're going to continue to look at very well-known portions of Scripture or what should be well-known portions of Scripture. Last week, we looked at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Okay, it's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Can someone tell me what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So we took that verse apart. We kind of looked at it and reminded ourselves the importance of that verse. And I'm encouraging you, I want to encourage you, if each of these main verses that we look at each week, if you don't have them memorized, you know, the Bible instructs us to memorize God's Word. And, you know, there are some people that I suppose they have really good ability to memorize. But, you know, there are some people that have memorized the entire New Testament. That's incredible. And I don't know if I've ever knew anyone who memorized the entire Bible, but the entire New Testament. That's a lot of memorization. But the Bible encourages us to hide God's Word in our heart. That's memorization. So verses that we're going to be looking at, these are all verses that should be memorized. So I found, and I'll just leave you with this with regards to memorization. If you want to memorize a verse, I learned this many years ago, and I found it to be very helpful and very true. If on Monday you'll say that verse 25 times, on Tuesday 20 times, on Thursday 15 times, Wednesday 15 times, Thursday 10 times, and Friday 5 times, by Saturday you'll probably have that verse memorized. And then you have to then, you know, the old, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. You'll have to continue to keep that verse now and then in your mind and remember it. But I always memorized, I would use index cards. I would take an index card and I would put a memory verse on the index card. And sometimes I keep that index card in my car on the dashboard, or I just have it at my desk. In fact, I still do. I have a stack of index cards with memory verses on them. Because from a preacher's perspective, if you don't use it, you lose it. You do forget. And it's so important because we'll see in tonight's Bible study how important it is with regards to maintaining fellowship with the Lord. So John chapter 1 and verse 9 is our verse for tonight. Let's just read it out loud together and then I'll have a short word of prayer. Let's begin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Lord, bless the Bible study tonight. We pray that You'd speak to our hearts through Your Word and by the Holy Spirit. Thank You again for the opportunity to be here this evening. Thank You again always for Your goodness and Your mercy and for Your grace. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. So this verse that we're looking at here is not really a salvation verse. It's a fellowship verse, really, or maintaining our fellowship with the Lord. You know, the Bible says this in Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Or look at verse 6 of our text. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So I have for you on your handout 3 points I want to look at quickly tonight as we deal with the confessing of our sins. Okay? Now, was it, I don't know if it was just at my house or maybe it was at your house too, this spring, there seemed to be, did all of you, like at our house, almost every night, there was like a layer of green pollen over everything. Did that happen at your house? or yellow pollen. It was incredible. We had a tremendous amount of pollen this year in the spring. Must have just been up in the mountains. But almost every I knew that because on our porch, which is covered, it was just almost every day there was a layer of green pollen. A layer of green pollen. It was like dust. And I just thought, wow, it's never happened before since we lived here like this. And I thought maybe it was happening everywhere, but I guess we must have been the only ones it was happening to. Oh, all right, so it was yellow. Did anyone have yellow pollen laying? Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, boy, it's going to be a tough crowd tonight, I can tell. I thought it was green, but maybe I got to get my glasses checked. Anyhow. Anyhow, I'm glad that you had yellow pollen instead of green, but because it was really going to ruin my illustration. Listen, every day in our lives, just like that pollen kind of laid down on everything each and every night, and there it was the next day, sin is like that in our life. None of us gets up in the morning, goes throughout the day, goes to bed, and in a 24-hour period, the reality is that we still sin throughout the day. Now, it's not necessarily a great sin or an obvious sin, but we still have a sinful nature. And we still do things, or we think things. You know, a great lesson to learn in the Beatitudes, when Jesus taught the Beatitudes, he reminded us there that you don't actually have to commit a sin to be guilty of it. If the thought comes into your mind, it's a sinful thought. And the reality is that that needs to be dealt with each and every day. This is how we maintain our fellowship with the Lord. So chapter number 1 and verse 9 reminds us of that. In fact, look at what verse 8 says. Verse 8 says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin. So the Bible reminds us that even as believers, none of us has reached a state of perfection. We won't reach that state until we get to heaven. Amen? So we all fall short. We all do on a regular basis. And if we're not careful, that we can destroy or we can ruin or hinder our fellowship with the Lord. So the first blank on your handout to fill in is this: the handling of confession. The confession of sin. The handling of confession. How do we handle it? How do we deal with it? What is the Bible, and how does the Bible instruct us? So letter A on your handout would be this. It would be a reminder of something actually that I just said. We sin all the time. It's just who we are in our nature. For instance, you could get angry at someone during the day because they cut you off. And, you know, you could have some thoughts come into your mind. Now, I know that's probably never happened to any of you in this room here. There's any number of things, but I'm just trying to get the point across, like that pollen. Each and every day there are things, even things that we don't even understand, we don't even think about. So we're reminded of that. So the whole idea, letter A is all the time. There's sin that permeates our life. But letter B is when we handle our confession, that it really should be everything that we do, every sin. And what I mean by every sin is this: there are no big sins and there are no little sins. It's just all sin. And it's important to think of it that way. Because if we don't think of it that way, what will happen is we'll begin to rationalize, or we'll begin to categorize our sin. And then we'll make excuses for it. So for instance, let's just take lying. Are there little lies and are there big lies? Or sometimes you've ever heard the expression, it was a white lie. So what does that expression mean? It was a white lie. A lie is a lie. Right. A lie is a lie. I was at the Walmart the other day, the North Adams Mall. That's what I call Walmart. And I bought two pair of pants. And I got to the checkout. They were in the discount. Like one pair was $8, the other pair was $9. You know, they're just getting rid of them. I wanted them for kind of work. So I'm checking out, and I bought that. And but the most important thing I also bought was a Nestle's chocolate bar. That was the most important. But anyhow, the gal rang it up, and it came up to like $10.50, something like that. So I looked at it. I said, well, that can't be right. She said, well, that's what it says. I said, no, because I got two pair of pants here. And so the guy behind me says, don't worry about it. That's a good price. I said, no, I can't do that. I have two pair of pants here. So long and short of it is the cashier, she just forgot to put the other pair of pants in there. But the reality is, I could have just taken the two pair of pants, the $10.50, put them in a bag, and walked out the door. Now, someone might say, oh, well, praise the Lord, God really gave you a discount on those pants, didn't he? I've heard people say that. It doesn't work that way. I don't know if she would have got in trouble or not, or if they would have found out or not, but I wasn't worried about her getting in trouble. I was more concerned about me getting in trouble. And not me getting in trouble with Walmart, but the Lord knows, amen? The Lord knows. And so, you know, sometimes the Lord puts us in those situations for us to, you know, it's a trial, it's a test. It's a, you're going to do the right thing here or you're not going to do the right thing here. And there are no big sins, there are no little sins. In fact, just take your Bible and just go back a couple of books. Let's be reminded of something. Go to the book of James. James chapter 2. Verse 10. James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, and if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So we're reminded here in James chapter 2 that, listen, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all points. The fact is, sin is sin is sin. And there's a penalty. On the way back from Maine on Saturday, we're trying to get back because there's a youth activity, and we went away for a couple of days, and I'm coming through Petersburg, New Hampshire, and I'm coming down into town, I'm not paying attention, and just as I get to Petersburg, there's a Petersburg policeman coming the other way. I'm coming this way, he's coming this way, on go his lights, and his hand goes like this to me, meaning, you better pull over. And I look, and I think, oh, I wasn't even paying attention. So I pulled over, and he came out, and, officer, I said, I'm sorry, I wasn't even paying attention. So he looked at me, looked at Shelley, saw Lydia in the back. I think it was 35, I was going 55. So I'm thinking, oh, great, this is probably a $200 ticket. So anyhow, told him, yeah, I was wrong. I wasn't paying attention. Well, he said, I'll tell you what. You don't look, I can't really say exactly what he said because he used a profanity. But he said, you don't look like you were da-da-da-da-da this afternoon. So, you got a good driving record? I said, yeah, I got a good driving record. All right, I'll just give you a warning and I'll let you go. Huh? Yeah, he said there was a lot of accidents there. Looking out for my well-being. Nice guy, huh? Anyhow, so I thank the Lord for that. But the reality is, somebody once told me, A policeman once told me this: if you ever get pulled over, tell them you're a member of the clergy. They'll let you go. I've never done that. I didn't think that's right. You know? If you break the law like that, you break the law and you've got to deal with it. But I do thank the Lord that I didn't get a $200 speeding ticket. So I wasn't going to use a title to get at something that I had done wrong. It's all part of our walk with the Lord. There are things that we do that are not right, and sometimes we just have to own up to them. But the point is this: listen, sin is sin. There's no big sin, there is no little sin. And so when we handle confession, and it's important that we do, that we remember that. And then the C under the handling confession is, listen, you can confess your sins anywhere. And it's important that we remember that as well. So, for instance, in Luke chapter 15, when the prodigal son confessed his sin before God, was he in church? Where was the prodigal? He was in the pigsty. He admitted, after he really messed up, that he was in the that he had sinned against God. You read it, I'm not going to read it tonight, but in Luke chapter 15, he admits that he had sinned against God and he had sinned against his father. And he had broken his father's heart, and he had ignored his father's wisdom. And he admitted that. And sin is like that. I really think sin in our own lives breaks our Heavenly Father's heart as well if we don't get it right with Him. So important that we confess and we handle it right. And let me give you this too. Sometimes, if you get saved later in life, especially this can happen, things will come back from your past that you know now were grievous sins against God. And Satan can use those things to discourage you. So, when that happens, when all of a sudden you're sitting there and all of a sudden you think, oh, you know, I did this. Listen, even though it happened before you were a believer, just confess it to the Lord and admit it to the Lord and ask for the Lord's forgiveness. Because as we're going to see, He forgives. And it's a tool that Satan will use, our past sin, to try to discourage us. And every now and then, I've got to tell you, stuff from my youth pops into my head. It's kind of weird, you know, like, I have a terrible memory. My wife's got a memory like a steel trap, but I've got a terrible memory. And when I said the other day in church that she remembers everything, like, you know, what we had for dinner 6 years ago on a Thursday night, and what time we had dinner. But I can't remember yesterday for today. It's just bad. But every now and then, all of a sudden pops into my mind something I was involved with. And I just stop and I just have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have never done that. And I remind myself, because the Bible says this, that He forgives me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's a way that we can defeat the attacks of the wicked one. That's part of handling our confession. So we're reminded that we sin regularly. Hopefully, as we grow in the Lord, our sins aren't the obvious big sins that we think of, but we still sin. We lose our temper. That's a sin. We harbor wrong feelings. That's a sin. All different types of things we could plug in there. So in the age of the internet, or things on television, or you go to the theater, there are things that you see, things that you watch, things that come into your mind that you have to take those things and handle those things and confess them before the Lord. But the second point is very important here, and that is that the next spot there would be the heart of confession. The heart of confession. So let's read verses 3 through 9 here, because this gives us really the heart. There's the two fill-ins, A and B, are this: a false confession and a true confession. A false confession and a true confession. If you want to write those down real quick. And then let's read verse 3 through 9 in chapter 1. The Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So let me just stop there for a minute. That's really what fellowship with the Lord is all about, that our joy would be full. Then we have fellowship one with another, with the brethren, that our joy may be full. I'm not going to have time to get into it tonight, but it would be, before I read the rest of these verses, an example of true confession. And you might just want to write under there, letter B, where it says true confession, Psalm 51. You might want to read Psalm 51 on your own. But that is David's psalm of confession regarding his sin with Bathsheba. And Bathsheba, real quickly, most of you know the account, but in case someone doesn't, David saw Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Uriah's at battle. David takes Bathsheba into his own home. They become intimate. She's impregnated with David's child. He sends her back. He calls Uriah from the battle to go home to be with his wife. Then they could be intimate, and then she'll just convince him that this is his child, meaning Uriah's. But that doesn't work. Uriah won't do that while his men are fighting. David gets Uriah drunk. That doesn't work. David sends Uriah back to the battlefield with a sealed letter to the other generals that instruct them to put Uriah at the forefront of the battle, which they do. Uriah is then killed in battle. So in a real sense, David premeditated Uriah's death. Nathan the prophet comes along. Nathan points out some things, and in the end, he points his finger at David, and he said, "David, you're the man." And David knew exactly what he was talking about, and David was convinced of his sin. I think he already had been convinced of his sin. But you read in Psalm 51, David says these words, "O Lord, return unto me the joy of my salvation." The sin that he was involved with, it robbed him of the fellowship that he had with God. And sin will rob us of the fellowship. But when we have true confession, it strengthens the relationship. We acknowledge the sin before God. We admit the guilt, just as David did, and we ask forgiveness. The flip side of that is a false confession. And again, I don't have time tonight, but you might want to write this down. 1 Samuel chapter 15, read verses 16 through 30. 1 Samuel 15, verses 16 through 30. And that's the account where King Saul was instructed by God to wipe out the enemy. And he partially fulfills God's commandment. But he doesn't kill the enemy king. And anyhow, God catches up with him, and Saul tries to talk his way out of it before God, and God exposes his sin. And then finally, Saul admits to what he had done, and Saul says something like this near the end, after he admits it. He says, "But honor me now, Lord." And that phrase, "honor me now," the idea, you'll see it as you read it, is, yeah, he admitted he had done wrong, but he was more concerned that he would maintain his power and his position as king. And he wanted the people, the Israelites, to continue to honor him. So he's more concerned, his confession is not so much that he's sorry for what he's done, but God tells him there that, "I'm going to take the kingdom from you. There's going to be a price, there's going to be a penalty." So it's an example there. If you read through it and you have time, just kind of read through and meditate on it. It's an example of a false confession. A false confession that will hinder the relationship that we have with God. Kind of like, "I'm sorry because I got caught," type of a confession. So that's the motivation, the heart of confession. It's so important. So let's just continue to read now in verse 4. "So in these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." It's a matter of, when we sin, walking out of the darkness and walking back into the light. And confession is what does that, a true confession. But then lastly, and what's really so wonderful about this, the last point of this lesson is the hope. That fill in the blank, there's the hope of confession. And really the hope of confession is Jesus Christ. He's our hope. He's the one that we're confessing to. The hope that we have. If we say, now look again at verse 9. If we confess our sins, what's the next word there? He is faithful, right? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So letter A, it's His faithfulness. That's the confidence that we have when we confess our sin. That He's faithful. That if I go to Him with a true heart of confession, that He's faithful, He'll honor that confession. We can put our confidence in Him. And then it says this, He is faithful and He's just. That word just there is the same word that's used elsewhere in the Bible. It'd be holy. He's a holy God. It's an amazing thing. Think about this. Let's just dwell on this for a moment. That a holy, righteous God, a perfect, sinless God, will forgive an unholy and an unrighteous people. It's a wonderful testimony to His grace and to His mercy. Because it's very important we understand this, that sin, as a believer, sin does not affect our standing in Jesus Christ. You understand what I mean by that? That sin does... What do I mean by that, Jim? Yeah, once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we're saved for eternity. So it doesn't affect our standing with Him, but sin does affect our fellowship with Him. But He's ready and willing to maintain that fellowship. And so His faithfulness... And He is faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins. It's really based upon His holiness, the immutability of God, the unchanging character of God. And then, so this, that's the second, His justice. And then the C is His, it's His forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The psalmist said, our sin then is as far as the east is from the west. Or elsewhere in the scriptures, it talks about our sin being thrown behind God's back. God desires to have fellowship with us. He never does anything to break that fellowship. It's you and I that break that fellowship. But He is so willing, so ready, so available to continue to maintain and to get that fellowship right. But it means we have to handle confession. We have to have the heart of confession. And remember that the hope is always in Jesus Christ. So try to determine in your life to practice your confession of sin before God regularly. To just even in a general sense, when you have your time of prayer with the Lord, to admit to Him, Lord, I... Because there are things that we do that we don't even realize that we do, that we're sin, are sinful. But we admit to Him, Lord, I know that not everything that I do is always right. And I know that there's sin in my life, and I confess that to You. And what did the psalmist say? He said, Lord, search my heart and see if there be some wicked way in me. It's a good thing for us to do. Lord, what is it in my life that you're working on? What is it in my life that you need to show me, you need to teach me, you need to instruct me, you need to make obvious to me that is offensive to you? And then let God speak to you. It's all part of maintaining fellowship. Because if we don't do that, we start to break our fellowship. And, if you've ever... I'll leave you with this example. I had a good friend growing up. His name was Doug Rogg, my neighbor. And like a lot of kids, every now and then you get into some kind of an argument. And we did a lot. I mean, there was only a couple other kids really on my street. We hung out together all the time. And I forget what it was all about, but we got miffed at one another. And so we didn't talk to one another for a week, 2 weeks, maybe it was 3 weeks. And you know, back then, it wasn't like today where you know they pick every kid up at their house on the bus. All the kids on the street walked down the street, down the other street, and you all waited at the end of the street as a group. So there's probably 10 or 15 of us waiting for the bus. And we would walk to the bus together. But not for those weeks we would walk. We were miffed at one another. And I forget how it all worked out. But in the end, I'm sure it was probably me that upset him, not him that upset me. You're sure, aren't you? But in the end, somehow we worked it out. And somebody made an apology. Somebody confessed their wrongdoing. And we got back to the friendship that we had. Well, it's the same with God. It's never him that breaks the fellowship. It's you and it's me. Amen? That breaks the fellowship. But he's so gracious and so wanting to you and I to have a joyful fellowship with him and with one another. So don't rob yourself of the joy of the Lord. Confess it. Get it right. Handle it right. And have that heart of, you know, really, I just want to have sweet fellowship with the Lord. And put your hope in Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then you can take your prayer list and lift these prayer requests up before God. Father, thank you for your goodness, mercy, and grace. We ask now that you bless our prayer time. And help us now, Lord, as we approach the throne of grace. We realize that in and of ourselves, we're undeserving to bring these prayer requests to you. But we recognize because of Jesus, because of the precious blood, that we have access to our Heavenly Father. We know that your word teaches that you'll hear our prayers. So we bring them to you tonight, asking that you will answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.